walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Omni Nashville Hotel. Let's turn the page to hour number two. Kevin Hagan is with us. Very, very popular segment where we talk Alabama. Kevin, are you there, sir?
I am, and I don't have the flu, unlike last week, which I battled through. And actually, a couple of listeners sent me notes and said, "You sound really down today. Is it the signing day?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm battling the flu." So,
you know, that's been a problem at all the schools. Really bad. In the
it has.
Schools across everywhere. All right, here is one I'm going to begin with. Judd asked me about it a few days ago, and then he followed up again this morning to make sure I did not forget. He said, could you please ask Kevin to give more details on his, quote, tip of the iceberg comment regarding Kirby being a bad guy?
Oh, yeah, I just made the comment at that time, and it was really directed to Alabama fans. If you remember, Alabama fans were kind of in an uproar when they found out that Kirby had taken a picture of the recruiting board before he left. And I was just passing along. I was tip of the iceberg. I mean, I'm all for negative recruiting. Kirby's been a little over and above on the negative recruiting ever since he took the Georgia job. But it's all fine and good. I understand. That's part of the game or whatever. I just was wanting Alabama fans. There were, at that time, there were still some Alabama fans who thought Kirby was, quote, unquote, one of us. And I think pretty much everybody's figured out now that that bridge has been burned and then some, and he's not one of us anymore. He can be certainly classified as an enemy. So the guy we once called Flirtin' Kirby when he was our defensive coordinator and couldn't stop mobile coaches, now we affectionately call him Coach Second 26. So it's all good.
Is Kirby and Jeremy Pruitt close?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. That's why I keep saying the recruiting battles between the Vols and the Dogs in metropolitan Atlanta would be worthy of pay-per-view status. It's going to be great.
And when they were together at Alabama, were they – I mean, obviously you've got to communicate, but – they weren't really
absolutely
close.
I mean, they're professional, but as I've said before, I mean, Kirby really wasn't close to anybody other than Nick on that staff. He didn't really hang out with the rest of the guys. He was kind of his own dude, and he was never really close to anybody.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, is that more of a that's just his personality? For example, at Georgia?
Yeah.
Is that just the way he goes about it?
And he was kind of sometimes seen by the other coaches at times as, quote, unquote, you know, Nick's boy and everything. But, no, he was never really close with the rest of the staff. And then, you know, just that you have different personalities on staff. It's like any office in America, you know. And Jeremy, I mean, Tennessee fans are learning, and I loved hearing your stories about it. Jeremy Pruitt is an absolute no-nonsense guy, and he will have no problem getting in the face of anybody from the president of the University of Tennessee down to a student manager. Jeremy will take no prisoners at Tennessee, which is one of the reasons that I think eventually he's going to get that program turned around and be very successful. But there's been instances where Jeremy didn't have any qualms about getting in the face of Nick Saban when he needed to. Absolutely. One instance was at halftime in the Mississippi State game when we were, looked like garbage in Starkville this past season. Is one of the reasons that we got out of there with a win is the fact that he got in Coach Saban's face at halftime and said, "We have got to simplify this defense or we're leaving Starkville with a loss."
He also, under Mark Richt down there at Georgia, got real huffy several times, I understand, with not only the coach but the administration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I rather doubt that Jeremy Pruitt and Mark Richt exchange Christmas cards.
Yeah, so. but Kirby and Will Muschamp are close.
Oh, yes, yes. I believe they still share a vacation home in Florida, if I'm not correct.
Right. Was it them or was it Jimbo? I guess it was Kirby. And you're
one
right.
One of those two, yeah. One of the two he does, yeah.
Correct. Anyways, okay. So
that's the nature. The bottom line is fans had half of an insight in what goes on with recruiting. They would be so – and I'm not talking about Valley. I mean, if they understood as how – ugly it gets, they would be absolutely repulsed by it.
Well, and the other thing, and I think we all, even folks who have been around it like me and you, we do tend to look from the outside in at a staff, and let's say everybody's got their favorite school, their favorite team. Fans look from the outside in at their staff like it's some kind of paradise. Like there aren't inter-office politics like your office, you know, somebody listening to me right now, or there aren't disagreements, or there aren't feuds, or there aren't people who absolutely don't like each other on these staffs. That is life. I mean, that is like any place you go, you're going to have some of that, and a football staff is the same way. But when we hear about it, Kevin, it's like it's way more loud and it's way more profound for some reason because we glorify the football staff.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. You fans have the perception, like you said, that the coaches sit around the conference table, you know, holding hands, singing Kumbaya at the beginning and the end of every conference meeting. And that's just simply not the case. Now, obviously, you know, coaches like Coach Saban are able to manage that. But, yeah, it's like any office environment, like you said. Some coaches like each other better than others and get along. And then you have coaches like Lane Kiffin. And Lane, you know, there were times in practice where Lane was asked to run something specific for the defense in practice, and Lane would deliberately do something else just to annoy Coach Saban. So, I mean, there's all different spectrums of it, and it's all good. And most of the time, most of the assistant coaches actually get along off the field because they realize, hey, someday you never know who your boss may be. You know, fans of Jeremy Pruitt and friends of his for a long time, I'm sure, were excited when he got that job in hopes that they, you know, he would give them a call and ask them to join his Tennessee staff. So it's just one of the many things that you kind of really wish fans could see to understand what all goes on behind the scenes.
Let's double back a little bit, and we'll probably wear this topic out, but it is interesting. I was talking yesterday, and we were talking Florida and some other things, but Felipe Franks down there, and it seems like nobody's given him a chance to be the quarterback under Dan Mullen, and maybe he is, but it seems like nobody's given him a chance. Nobody's given Jarrett Garantano a chance at Tennessee, even though Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback, so we're trying to figure that one out. But we were just talking about this spring, quarterbacks who are going to have to make decisions on stay or go, and am I staying here and going to fight for this job, or am I going to go? And the other one is Jalen Hurts. And, again, not an original conversation that you and I have had. We've talked about this a bunch. But how do you think this thing gets measured up by him? And the other thing about Jalen is he's doing so many good things. You see him tweeting. He's with people. He's helping the underprivileged. He's a great kid. But at some point, he's going to have to make a decision.
He will, and it's going to be a real interesting decision, I think. There are several options on the table. He's, you know, stay, fight for the quarterback position, accept your role probably as the backup quarterback with behind Tua Tagovailoa. I'm sure Alabama could have packages for him. There's the option of him going to an H-back position, which is a position that a lot of the coaches and staff feel like is something that he could do at a professional level. Unfortunately, it does not look like Jalen Hurts has a future as an NFL quarterback, but he possibly could in, like, the H-back role. We just really won't know, and I know this is a frustrating answer from people, but it's the honest answer. We really won't know till the end of spring. There are those that have the close to the program that have told me that they think that he will possibly leave if he doesn't win the starting quarterback job. And then there's others that think that there's a realistic chance that he may stay around this season in either the backup quarterback role or the H-back role. So we're just going to have to let it play itself out. The great thing is if Jalen Hurts does choose to stay. And I would love to see him stay as a backup, to be honest with you. He's going to handle it in the classy manner that he's handled everything else. He's not going to be divisive. He's not going to be, you know, a cancer on the program, which you normally deal with. So that's another reason that I don't think there's really any concern if he does decide to stay. I can tell you this, his teammates want him to stay. I mean, he's loved on the team. I mean, that doesn't mean that they don't want the best quarterback playing, but players on the team aren't hoping that Jalen leaves. And quite honestly, Bill, I hope he makes the decision to stay. We'll know a whole lot more late April, early May.
And another item we've discussed, a possible destination would be Boca, right?
Well, there's been some rumors about that, but I mean, he wasn't particularly close to Lane Kiffin when Lane was his quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. If, and this is a big if, because like I said, I really hope Jalen stays. I personally, now this is Kevin Hagan talking, if he were to transfer, and I put if in quotations there, if, I think he would choose a school somewhere closer back to his home in Texas, like maybe a TCU. But I personally, I hope he's a part of the 2018 Alabama team.
Brian on Twitter, and he just downloaded the app, so we're happy to have him here, said, ask Kevin about two physical altercations that Pruitt had at Georgia. And he also said, Pruitt is still given credit for the indoor practice facility at Georgia because he did put his fist down on their lack thereof of that facility at the time.
He had a lot to do with that. I really can't talk about specifics of the Georgia incidents because I don't have the insight into what everything that went on at Georgia like I have inside the Alabama. So unfortunately, you'll have to get that from someone who knows more on the Georgia side of it. But yes, he did have a huge influence in Georgia getting that indoor facility. He was actually blown away when he got to Georgia, how unlike the Alabama program that Georgia was.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. And I would imagine.
Blown away.
And look, Mark Richt's done a good job so far at Miami, so I don't want this to sound for the Miami listeners that were bashing away, but the environment under Mark Richt was very at Georgia, it was lethargic. It lacked energy. That's why we always had the name Energy Vampire there. And I'm sure when Jeremy Pruitt walked into that and then had to live in it, it just galled him to no end. I'm sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking earlier about one of my pet peeves, forfeits and vacated wins. And I know all about vacated wins. Alabama's had 21 of those. you were jokingly saying and talking about the 2012 national championship game with Notre Dame. And I'm like, that's fine, because in honesty, let's be honest, the 2012 national championship game was Alabama, Georgia, in the SEC championship game. I mean, those were the two best teams that year, and whoever won that game was going to beat Notre Dame. Next, take anything away from that Fighting Irish team, but that was a great team. I mean, it kind of blows my mind, quite honestly, that Georgia never won a national championship under Mark Richt, because he certainly had some teams that had the capability to do so. And so in some small ways, you might say that Jeremy Pruitt did Georgia a favor, and Georgia's certainly in better hands, with Kirby Smart now moving forward. I mean, Mark Richt's a great person. He's a great Christian man. He just never seemed to be able to get the Georgia program over the top.
Jim down in West Palm tweets, hey, guys, Jimbo and Muschamp shared a vacation home. And he goes, that's why it was so weird when Muschamp got the Florida job.
There you go.
I knew it was one of them because I know they're all buddies in that group in some form or fashion. And they all have, I guess, the common thread there is the Nick relationships, right? Jimbo down at LSU, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Coach Saban and Jimbo, I mean, they're still very cordial with one another. It's not a hatred thing. Now, certainly Coach Saban will want to, you know, beat him when he brings his Aggies to Tuscaloosa this fall. But, I mean, it's a lot of these coaches, they're very amenable off the field. They have, quote-unquote, relationships with one another. And oftentimes, if they've been on the staff, their wives have even closer relationships. And that's what's really important. That's where you rub somebody wrong. If a coach's wife gets rubbed the wrong way by the other coach's wife, that's actually a bigger deal, believe it or not.
Oh no, I trust me. I've heard lots about those situations at various schools. Yeah, if mama gets
politics
in a snit, oh.
Never underestimate the influence of coaches' wives on programs.
Correct.
And I know a lot fans will laugh at that comment, but trust me, never underestimate it.
So Saban likes Muschamp. I know he likes Pruitt. If you if we could get Nick, which he would never have this conversation publicly for sure, to pick between Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin. Now, I don't mean as a coach, perhaps, but I just mean who do you dislike more? If we could get truth serum into him, how do you think that answer would go?
This is me speaking for Coach, which is a dangerous thing, and I like to do.
You're going
to
get a call after the show.
It would be very hard to find any individual that he's more unhappy with right now than Lane Kiffin. That would be difficult to find.
So
that relationship is not healthy.
So in the pecking order, Kirby would.
You will not find Lane Kiffin sitting with Coach at the out on the boat at Lake Burton anytime this summer. You know, counting the ducks. That is not going to happen.
Oh me, that is so funny. Well.
And, hey, we made it through a signing day where Alabama finished number 7. It was unbelievable. I was talking to Ole Miss Evie, and I was congratulating on her and how surprisingly well I thought Alabama did, and I was sharing with her. It was unbelievable. I had so many Alabama fans' reaction to signing day. And, yeah, we missed on some people, but, oh, wow, Bill, you'd have thought we finished, like, 63rd in the nation or something.
Well, it started off terrific with Patrick Surtain.
Absolutely. I mean, Alabama's number one area of need in this class was the secondary, and Alabama signed, in my opinion, the best secondary class Coach Saban's ever signed in Alabama. They signed the number one high school secondary player in Patrick Surtain. They signed the number one JUCO in Savion Smith. I mean, loaded secondary for Alabama. They got Anoma, who's a great number one defensive end, which they needed. So, I mean, it wasn't the number one class. Georgia signed the number one class this year, but Alabama met their needs. But it was just really interesting. As Wednesday progressed, it was like, oh, my gosh, it was gloom and doom. You'd have thought Coach Saban had announced his retirement or something. It was a long Wednesday last week. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and Tennessee fans, well, I saw a column written, and it said that Jeremy Pruitt's devotion to Alabama cost Tennessee in recruiting. Now, Tennessee finished 20th, which I thought was pretty good considering what he walked into. It was an absolute mess. But I saw a column written on that said that actually was critical of Pruitt because he was too devoted to Alabama to do both jobs appropriately.
I could see somebody from the Tennessee perspective writing that column, but at the same time, I think it speaks to Jeremy Pruitt's dedication to his word and his loyalty to his players that he had at Alabama, and he's going to have that absolute same loyalty to the players that have played for him at the University of Tennessee. Like you, I thought, all things considered, I thought Jeremy signed about as great a class as he's going to be able to sign. So, I mean, let's be honest, Tennessee was behind the eight ball from the get-go, and if they want to blame anybody, blame the administration. How long did this coaching search last? It was ridiculous. That's where the blame should go.
I'll let you out the door on this. Robert Gillespie, in essence, has been let go at Tennessee. There was some talk yesterday that maybe Chris Winkie would be coming up there to be the running back coach, which we know running back coach does not have to be a running back. Almost anybody can take that job, meaning a good coach. Are you hearing anything about Chris Winkie?
I have not heard anything about Chris Winkie. Of course, he's still in the analyst role for Alabama. So if he was offered a position coach at Tennessee, that would be an upgrade for him. But I have not heard any additional rumors about that at all. But I would not be surprised that Jeremy would not be turning to him. You're going to see Jeremy turn and look at a lot of people that he's coached with at Alabama to fill those lower level positions. So that would be a good hire for Tennessee.
Did they do anything about replacing the defensive line coach?
They're still interviewing people. The popular name that everyone's heard is Eric Henderson, who's the Los Angeles Chargers defensive line coach. Another possibility that's out there that you could see is the possibility that maybe Tosh moves to defensive line himself and that Alabama hires another outside linebacker coach. That's kind of the wild card that not a lot of people are talking about. But I will say this, whoever Coach Saban hires – will have great recruiting ties to Louisiana, Mississippi, and East Tennessee, because you're going to hear me say this over and over the next year. There is generational talent in Louisiana and Mississippi in this 2019 class, and everybody Coach Saban's added to this staff are able to help in that regard in some way in those two states.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day, everybody. Roll Tide.
Good stuff there. Wow. We've got Buck coming up in about 5 minutes as well. Josh Newberg, top of the hour. Let me remind you about my good friend, Jason Herring. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com is that site, and want you to bookmark that. Want you to remember it. It's spelt just like it sounds, LifeInsuranceWithJason.com. And all the information is right there, including contact information. Most all of this is done online, electronically, etc. these days. That's where we're at. And it's like Jason has told me and you various times here on the show. It's done less expensively than you think. A lot of competition out there for policies. So with competition, pricing goes down. And they are getting people cleared with all kinds of pre-existing conditions. That is correct. There's no catch here. It is that simple. Now, you need to get hold of him. If you fall into the category of I'm totally healthy, life is great, nothing could possibly happen to me, we are living the dream. I wouldn't risk that every day because you want to make sure your family is protected. If you have some pre-existing conditions that worry you, get to Kevin. He can get to Jason. He can help you. He absolutely can help you. Or let's say you got a policy. You've done it, but it's running low on time, maybe 5 years left, something like that. Don't wait. Get to him and discuss on the phone what your options are to get that thing freshened up. There's much more to this than what I've described, but those are general cases that cover many of you. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com, and all the contact information is right there. Buck at the bottom of the hour. We got to get another break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It remains very slow on 65 northbound, trying to get up to Williamson County. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. From that earlier wreck, 65 northbound at Paintsville Road in Williamson County, almost backing it up into Murray County right now. That's how bad it is. It's affecting traffic on 840 as well there at I-65. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out. Type in ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-755-6390. That's 800-755-6390. 800-755-6390.
Tennessee Wild Animal Removal and Barnes Contracting and Construction in Nashville salute the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our freedom. Let's remember them by continuing to donate blood for our returning injured military. Be a silent hero and give blood today. It could save a soldier. This reminder is from Wayne Barnes of Tennessee Wild Animal Removal and Barnes Contracting and Construction in Nashville, veteran-owned and operated, reminding everyone that we live in the land of the free thanks to the brave.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure Magazine, one of the most romantic restaurants in Music City, and awarded the 2016 Wine Spectator Award of Excellence. For reservations, simply call 615-761-3707 or go to opentable.com.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
Mark D'Antonio is a liar. You know why I know this? His words.
We've never done anything. This is the first time this ever happened.
First time that the media knew about it because it wasn't out there until now. I hope they don't let up. I hope they get the real truth out of all these things. But to me, there's no excuse for Mark D'Antonio just absolutely lying.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Yeah, we're gonna have to flip this quick. We'll get Buck here after I get the next break. Hawkeye Jason tweets, Bill, what are you giving up for Lent this Ash Wednesday? Kale? Working from Wilco or no phone calls from Cosby Cattleman? Oh, I already gave up something for Lent. You heard hour number one. We gave up the 2012 national championship game with Alabama. Never happened. We reversed course on the NCAA. We're keeping the 12-0, even though they're saying they're vacating that. Well, in our record books, which we do keep, we, as in the Fighting Irish, were 12-0, but the game down in Miami never happened. So it's actually a better record. It's not 12-1, it's 12-0. That's what we gave up for Lent. That game down in the sinful Miami area. Miami Gardens, to be exact. I don't know if I've... What else am I going to give up besides that? Not sure. Really nothing. I mean, I don't really do anything. It's really nothing to give up. I do the show. I get on the computer. I go to my kids' games, and then I do the same thing the next day. I don't really know what to give up. When you really don't do anything, what are you supposed to give up? I eat peanut butter and jelly for lunch. That's about it. Don't ever eat out, hardly. I don't do anything. It's not like it's a real fancy life here. All right, Charles Arbuckle, I know we got to get him. We'll get the break because I'm always late, and then Buck's coming up. New break at the top of the hour. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It remains very slow on 65 northbound, trying to get up through Williamson County. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. From that earlier wreck, 65 northbound at Paintonsville Road in Williamson County, almost backing it up into Murray County right now. That's how bad it is. It's affecting traffic on 840 as well there at I-65. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out. Type in ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches. Plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Do you have $10,000 or more in outstanding federal student loans? You may qualify to have your entire student loan forgiven with one free call. That's right. If you're a teacher, police officer, firefighter, or work for a nonprofit, you may qualify for new federal programs to have your entire student loan forgiven. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information on all the programs that can help. The sooner you call, the faster you can get relief. Get the maximum loan forgiveness, loan reduction, or consolidation available. Plus, find out in the first free call what you qualify for. A loan forgiveness specialist is standing by to answer all of your questions for free. Stop worrying about student loan payments. If you have $10,000 or more in federal student loans, this information could change your life. Call 800-315-9956. 800-315-9956. Wipe out your federal student loan debt. Find out how. Call 800-315-9956. 800-315-9956.
Nashville weather. Here is a look at your Skywatch weather forecast for today. Showers likely, high in the lower 60s. Tonight, cloudy, a chance of showers, low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, it's going to be cloudy, windy, and warm. High tomorrow in the lower 70s. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Some areas could see some showers, low in the lower 50s. And it looks like more on and off showers are possible in the forecast as we head into the weekend. I'm Commander Chuck, your Skywatch weather.
The Arena of Ideas is now open for your telephonic interactions. 888-702-5494. The Bill King Show.
Howdy, Nashville Hotel. Tweets on there, Buffalo Wings and Rings, Cool Springs. Charles Arbuckle typically with us on Tuesday, had some meetings, so we needed to move his appearance to today. Glad to accommodate our good friend Buck. What's up, my friend?
How are you, Bill? Good to talk to you this morning.
Are you watching any of the Olympics? Are you a Winter Olympic guy?
I probably watch, maybe 5 minutes so far. It was, I turned to watch a little bit of Shaun White last night. And, I get into the skiing part, but I don't really watch a lot of the other stuff. I mean, I just don't.
I don't either. They weren't curling out there at UCLA when you were there, were they?
No, but it's actually kind of cool to watch. I saw Vernon Davis doing something this past weekend on NBC.
Is that right?
He's become like a big curling fan, and he's there. So, yeah, it was actually kind of cool just to watch because it looks like I could do that. And it looks like it now. I don't know if it's that easy, but it's interesting to watch those guys and ladies get after each other sometimes when they don't put it right where it needs to be. Now, I don't know the rules. I just know, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, Bill, I think sometimes, like on weekends, like Friday night, sometimes there's nothing on, and that's a good time for me. I have not gotten into the Winter Olympics.
I was also going to ask you, Notre Dame, to switch it over to some college football, they got hit by the NCAA. They appealed it, and the appeal was denied. They're having to vacate all their wins from 2012, which was the undefeated regular season, and then the game or the season 2013 where they had 9 wins. So 21 wins they have to vacate because they identified kids who had help on assignments, academic assignments. They suspended them, literally. I mean, they took Everett Golson and sat him out a whole year because of this, and they still get hit by the NCAA. Meanwhile, North Carolina escaped scot-free, and that's kind of got everybody in a tizzy right now.
Yeah, and Bill, I think here's the thing with Notre Dame. I thought, and I think Notre Dame is saying this too, and usually I'm not going to defend any school, but I think they're saying, look, we issued punishment for it, so why are we still going to now get even more punishment after we've suspended guys? We made sure, because I think they self-reported and they did a pretty good job, it appeared, from what I've read. Now, it could be more to it that I don't know. But on the surface, to me, a couple things. You don't get anything back by telling teams they vacate the wins. I'm still going to say they won those games. You can't take those back. And then secondly, I think some of this has to do with the North Carolina piece, but I also think it's the lack of teeth or, you know, what they actually can do to other issues that come up. And we're starting to see that because they don't have any subpoena power. They don't have some of the things they want to do. So when they have opportunities to come down hard, it seems like they pick and choose. And I think that's what makes, you know, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I can point at North Carolina. But bottom line, they always say they take each case separately. But I think if you're the ones that it's happening to and it happens to your school, you don't view it that way. And I really don't think the NCAA is in a position now like they used to be to met out judgment or punishment the way they could. So I think when they have an opportunity, whether it's right or wrong, they do it to a degree where you're looking like, man, that doesn't really make sense to me, you know, common sense to me, but is there something I'm missing here?
I brought this up hour one. If we knew how many schools, I'm talking about hardcore college football schools, win big schools, but medium-level schools too, have cheating just like that, tutors doing assignments and everything else, randomly across America any year, and how it's never policed and or it's certainly never punished, or it's caught but it's swept under the rug where you and I never see it, we don't know about it, and those players play every game like nothing happened. What do you think we would see if we had the truth on that across America?
Man, we wouldn't have many games. We'd have a lot of players that we, you know.
Correct.
Let's face it. We would just not have the same quality of games. And if you notice, viewership was down or attendance was down at stadiums. I don't think viewership was down
right
to the degree that people think. I just think you're right, Bill. You bring up a great point. They don't have enough people to go out and see everything that's going on. And it just seems like when we find things, it's like you're gonna just really go down hard on folks. And I'm not saying Notre Dame didn't do, you know, what was necessary. I just think you bring up a very valid point. It would be awful hard to watch football if they actually had a system and they could keep up with that across the country, because there would be a lot more vacated wins and bad football or guys that are out because they, you know, they didn't even know it was a situation where they shouldn't have been doing something, but they did. And we talked about this, I think, before, you and I, years ago. The frats always had tests that they would pass around.
Oh, yeah.
No, they always had tests and different papers from schools because they had a database. And now it used to be in a file cabinet. Now I'm sure it's on a zip drive that they can now pull up and change some of the things and make that their own. So there's a much bigger issue, I think, than just making them vacate wins. I'm not saying I condone cheating by any stretch of imagination. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying if you're going to dole out punishment, you got to make this fair and equitable, and it's never going to be fair and equitable.
Just the number of times that, let's say, player or players get caught, and the head coach has a system in place to make that go away. I bet you that happens all the time.
Well, Bill, I agree with you, and I think that's why some of the things that we're starting to see now, when it crosses the line, and it clearly should be a situation where the police are involved, think about that in the past. That's where that's why we're starting to see some of the things we're seeing with Baylor and some other universities, Penn State in the past, you know, just going back in time, because the coaches could control that. The police would go to them first, or they would talk to them before they went anywhere else. And that's not how things are operated now. You can't do that. If there's something that happens on your university, I mean, we're seeing that at University of New Mexico, a school that's not on the radar, but they're having some issues now with Bob Davie. You're seeing that at other places. You have to report those transgressions. You saw USC, I think, just suspended one of their young wide receivers.
Right.
Because if you do anything that crosses the line, and I'm not just saying domestic violence, I'm saying if you do something that it's against the law, it has to be reported. Coaches can't do the things that they used to do. And I think that old way of thinking still gets in the way sometimes with some coaches because they still think they have the power. But you don't have the power to do that anymore. And it's just it's the way society is. And I think we're starting to see that shift. It doesn't happen overnight, but that starts to change. And that's where it makes – just because you're the big money winner on campus does not mean that you can just do anything that you want.
Trying to figure out what's going on at Michigan because – they still have Pep Hamilton, right? And there were some rumors that maybe Tim Drevno would leave, but they bring in Ed Warner. Now, Ed Warner is a very good offensive line coach. I think some people would say you don't want him calling your plays, though.
Yeah.
And you got McElwain there. I'm not sure what he's doing offensively there. Now, the main thing is to get Shea Patterson cleared to play. But other than that, I'm trying to figure out Michigan, and I'm not – all coaches that I like to a certain level there, but I don't know how they're going to mix and match all that.
Well, I've been around a lot of cooks that are really good, and when you get a bunch of them together, the kitchen is not a place you want to be because it's not a cohesive right. mix. And coaches have egos, and I'm wondering how they're going to, how Jim is going to handle that because their offense has been very stagnant. I think they have some players that can make plays, but the imagination of their offense, I would say, is lacking, and you're starting to see it manifest itself when they play bigger opponents, when they can't get over the hump.
Right.
And their defense has been really good, but there are certain times they need to score points, and they haven't been able to. I think Brandon Peters did a pretty good job. John O'Korn just wasn't the same quarterback after his time from Houston to there. Wilton Spate, he struggled. So it's going to be interesting. I think you bring up a good point about Shea Patterson. How is he going to come back? And how is he going to be able to play if they allow him to play? And what voice is he going to listen to? Who's going to be the guy that he has to listen to? And that's been the issue, it sounds like, with them, that they are just not having a cohesive bunch when they put together game plans. And it kind of looks like it. It looks like it at certain times. They panic, and ultimately your kids are going to panic. And is that going to get better? Is there somebody that can be a stabilizing force? Jim McElwain, we consider him an offensive genius. Pretty much, and he did a nice job at Alabama. He went out to Colorado State. When he came to Florida, we didn't see the same things, quarterback issues, other things that they had there. So I'm wondering, and Pat Hamilton has always been a good guy from calling plays and been on at the NFL level. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jim handles that. And I'm curious to watch because he's starting to feel some heat now. That team has not progressed, and that program has not been as good as a Michigan team as you would have expected with Jim Harbaugh now going into what I think his fourth year. So I expect them offensively. We're going to know right away if there's some issues with the cooks in the kitchen. And you'll probably start seeing it some in spring. You can read between the lines a lot of times if guys, and in particular if players, are getting comfortable with it. But I think you are right. If Shea Patterson can play this year, that might hide a lot of the issues that they could potentially have as an offensive unit.
We were talking yesterday. Now, D-Rob was a heck of a quarterback, but he did not fit what you always think about when you think about Michigan's style. Now, he was phenomenal. That 2010 season, I went back and looked. He broke Big Ten records, rushing and, combined rushing and passing numbers. Was just ridiculous. But, again, it was always going to be Al Borges. Can't wait until they get back to the I formation. Maybe it's Devin Gardner. But we were talking yesterday, Buck. Last time they had stability at quarterback, long-term stability, was Chad Henne.
It's interesting.
It seems like it.
It's interesting when you think about Michigan and how long ago from a standpoint of consistent offensive play.
Right.
And that's what I grew up with Michigan being, a team that had, at least a guy like Anthony Carter or some semblance of guys like that could beat you in the pass game, and then they would also be able to kind of – they always had, I formation, downhill running game, a good tight end. They always had some wideouts that would just, whether it was Woodson. I mean, the list is endless of guys they've had as receivers
right.
that have gone on to the next level. You're not seeing that as much anymore, right? We're not seeing that in an offense that was 105th in total offense last year. Now, passing offense is where they really were lacking, and I think the rushing game wasn't as dynamic either. So who are going to be the guys on the outside? That's the one thing for Michigan. a couple of years ago when they had Jake Butt, Amart, you know, Darbo, Chesson. They were explosive. And I think when you lose those guys and you have to replace them with young players, who are going to be the guys that step up?
They had Ryan Mallett, but he Rich Wright got there, and that ain't fitting, you know. So 6'7" quarterback don't fit this.
Yeah. Well, so I'm curious. You know, there's a lot of name guys that they have that are young players, but until I see production, Bill, this is a prime example. You know recruiting very well. How Jim has been known throughout his career of being able to develop players. How are they going to be able to develop these young men that were five-star guys, high-level guys, when they get to Michigan? And that's going to be the key, the development between year one and year two. And how does your quarterback mesh with that? You're going to have to throw some run pass option, and he should be able to do that having Colin Kaepernick when he was at San Francisco. So I'm expecting to see some different things out of that. You know, Andrew Luck also, another mobile quarterback. I think people are really jumping on Michigan for the fact that they haven't been imaginative. But let's see. I'm curious to see this year if they're going to break out of that and become a team that can, you know, be three tights, but also spread it out some and do some run pass option and give you some different looks to give you things to think about.
Buck, we will see you next Tuesday unless you have meetings, and then we'll move it again. How about that, Buck?
All right, Bill. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Good stuff. Charles Arbuckle, man, he's outstanding. Top of the hour, Josh Newberg. He's horrible, but we're going to put him on. Yeah, Berg is terrible, but we're going to put him on anyways. He'll admit he's terrible when we get him on. We're brought to you by, as we go to the break, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. All lanes back open, but what a mess. 65 northbound at Paytonville Road from the earlier wreck in Williamson County. Let me just run down the list of wrecks out here. It just happened. Wedgewood there at 15th, Charlotte Pike at American Road, 4000 block of Nolensville Pike, Harding Pike at Highway 100, and still very slow 40 westbound trying to get past Spence Lane. ICU Security, check them out. They've got a neat website. It's ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-643-6931 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-643-6931 to take your call now. Call 1-800-643-6931. That's 1-800-643-6931. Again, 1-800-643-6931.
Grizz Nation. Join the Grizzlies for their Valentine's Day game presented by Memphis International Airport as your Grizzlies battle Russell Westbrook and the Thunder Wednesday the 14th at 7 p.m. Grab your tickets by calling 901-888-HOOP. Then, it's time, Grizz Nation. Don't miss Marc Gasol and your Grizzlies as they host Devin Booker and the Suns Wednesday the 28th at 7 p.m. For tickets to this and any game, call 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com. today.
The Acura TLX comes standard with four distinct drive modes. An integrated dynamic system lets you switch between Econ, Normal, Sport, and Sport Plus settings for adaptive control, making each drive as dynamic as you choose. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com.
Smashville is your home for the NHL Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. And WNSR is your home for the best coverage. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Every game day morning starting at 5 a.m., Crazy Charlie Saunier and his crew take you around the league with updates, interviews, and more. For the best coverage of the Nashville Predators, make sure you're locked in every game day morning starting at 5. For Redneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
To know anything about college football, consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
Josh Newberg. In about 10 minutes, we're brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. A couple of tweets. Markham says, Bill, if Shea Patterson plays, what happens to McCaffrey? He's talking about Dylan McCaffrey, who's a redshirt freshman. I don't think he's ready, and I don't think that he was going to be a factor this year, regardless of Shea Patterson. Before Shea Patterson ever got there, I don't know that he would have been a quarterback that got on the field in prime time for Michigan in 2018. So I would assume McCaffrey understands this and knows that he needs more seasoning. He got there. He's about 6'5", 170 or something, or 180, whatever they listed him. Now, he's put on weight, but he's a guy that needs some time. And I don't think he would be playing ahead of Brandon Peters. Now, which Brandon Peters is it? Is it the one that we saw some during the regular season that looked good, or is it the one we saw in the bowl game who looked like Wilton Spate? That's the other thing. But and the other item is, if Shea Patterson has a really good year at Michigan, I would assume he'd turn pro. I don't know that, but that would be my guess. Hawkeye Jason says, when I was younger, seems like I always knew the name of the Michigan wide receiver that wore the number one jersey. Feels like Braylon Edwards was the last memorable one. Yeah, I mean, of that level, I gotcha. Who is the big receiver who's in the NFL? And I don't mean tight end. The big receiver that I'm not thinking of right now from Michigan just a couple of years ago, now was in the NFL. Well, he was kind of a hybrid tight end wide receiver, like 6'4", 220. Not really a tight end in the true sense of the way we look at him physically, more of a receiving big tight end. Who is it I'm forgetting? He's in the NFL right now. Played just a couple of years ago. And remember it was Al Borges was the last one I couldn't think of. Oh, who is it? Wasn't that long ago either. Just a couple of years ago. Oh, yeah, Devin Funchess. Everybody's come to my rescue. I actually knew that. No, I didn't. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Devin Funchess. But I don't, you know, when we think of Devin Funchess, we don't think of Braylon Edwards, right? I don't think we say one equals the other. Funchess is pretty good, though. That's the one I couldn't think of. No, Jason was thinking of Jake Butt. No, I wasn't thinking of, that's why I didn't mention Jake Butt, because I wasn't thinking more traditional tight end type. It's Funchess. Because he came in and he was kind of a tight end, but he was kind of a receiver, and he certainly wasn't a tight end from an inline point of view, blocking or anything. He was a receiving big receiver. however I could wordsmith that. So put Devin Funchess goes on the Al Borges list, because I couldn't think of Al Borges the other day either. What is it about the Michigan guys I can't remember? I also had Chad Henne as a freshman in 06 when it was that big matchup with Ohio State, and he actually was a junior that year. So it's this Michigan thing, man. It's been getting me. It's been stumping me. My Michigan history is failing. All right. Newburgh's coming up, and then we'll have plenty of hangout time. The Cosby Cattleman has not called. We tried to smoke him out yesterday with Griff on because I purposely set Griff up to say some bad things about his guy, his boy, Lane Kiffin. That didn't even smoke him out. Now, there is no way he was listening, because if he was listening and he heard his guy getting dissed by Griff, he would have called. There's no way. He can't resist. He's a junkie. If he hears that, he's going to call. So I'm assuming that he wasn't listening. But I hope he calls a little bit later. Maybe he heard Kevin Hagan say, because I asked Kevin, I said, if we could get Nick to say, which does he dislike more? Who does he dislike more? Kirby Smart or Lane Kiffin? And Kevin said, oh, Lane Kiffin. Yeah, Lane, baby Kiff irritates him and galls him more than anybody else. He and Kirby are going to be in a perpetual snit that never gets fixed, right? It might fade a little bit, but that one is kind of like family that went bad, right? Now, if you're a Georgia fan, you don't give a damn. I understand the other side of it. I totally get that. If you're a Georgia fan, who cares? You got yours and you're doing damn good with it. Newburgh's coming up.